This is the Unseminary Podcast, stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Hey, listeners, my name is Vanessa, the host of the Unseminary Podcast, where we talk about the stuff you wish they taught in seminary. I'm joined by the founder of Unseminary, Rich Birch. Hey, Rich, how are you?
Well, for the people who are listening in, I need to let you in on a little bit of a secret. Today, the title of our article is, It's Too Loud! Responding to the Volume Critics at Your Church. And this is the first episode that between Vanessa and I that we had to redo because, ironically, I had it turned up too loud. And so my my mic all sounded terrible. So this is take two. So take hopefully two. This sounds better.
It'll be great.
It was a bit ironic. But besides that, I'm good.
Good. I'm glad. I'm excited for today's podcast. It's going to be a good one.
I know it's going to feel a little deja vu, feel like we've had this conversation before, but we'll be even snappier and more helpful for the people who are listening in. So
well, let's hope
excited for that.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's jump into it. Let's talk about some DBEs.
Yeah. So, you know, I wrote this article because over the years at the churches I've worked at, I feel like there's been kind of a consistent dull roar of people who have complained to us that, frankly, it's just too loud. And, you know, as I interact with and talk with other church leaders, I know that other people have the exact same thing. And so what I did actually was reach out to some other leaders, some executive pastors actually of some fast-growing and influential churches across the country and ask them, hey, what do you kind of, how loud do you run your main rooms, the kind of main adult rooms? And the interesting thing, and you can look at the article to see where they actually landed, but folks like 12 Stone in Atlanta or Christ Fellowship in Miami or Connexus or Crossroads in Cincinnati, a bunch of churches in there, Mosaic in Orlando, they came back and they all landed a very similar range, which is the kind of 90s, kind of mid-90s, you know, somewhere in that 90 to 91, 95 dB. So I thought, there might be something here. And so what I've tried to do in this article is pull together thoughts on audio for like a non-audio person, but then also a bit of a discussion around how we deal with this issue as we interact with people at our church who might be complaining about the fact that it's frankly just too loud.
We're going to get to some of the practical stuff near the end, but I really love that in this article, and I encourage our listeners to head over and read it, you have quick lessons on volume and hearing damage. And this is, I find this super fascinating.
Yeah. So people, when they'll complain to you that it's too loud, they come and they, and you can hear Rory, the podcasting dog in the background. I haven't been home all day. And so I think she's like, come on, spend time with me, not with Vanessa.
Sorry, Rory.
So she, it's funny. She just looked when she heard that, which was kind of funny. So yeah, in here, we've got these quick lessons on volume and hearing damage. And you know, when people complain, usually what they do is they play audio expert and they all claim that they know exactly that they're like, oh, you know, you're damaging people's ears. You're damaging people's ears. And so, although I am not an audio, damage expert, I have pulled together some links here to a couple different charts and articles to help you understand that so that you can benchmark and be more informed at your church. And what this chart does is it looks at kind of dB levels, which is just a way of measuring the actual kind of total volume of sound that's in a room. So how much is kind of actually happening in the room. And then it gives an example of what that might be like out in the world. And then it talks about, how long you would have to listen to that sound at that volume sustained for damage. And so it starts on the low end at 85 dBA. And the example of that is a snowblower, which for the folks living in the northern part of the country, they know exactly how loud that is. and then, you know, you'd have to listen to that for 8 hours, which sometimes it feels like it's 8 hours blowing snow. For it to do sustained damage. And that's all the way up to 115 dBA, which that's the sound of basically standing beside an emergency vehicle siren. So like beside an ambulance siren. And you only have to stand there for 57 seconds to actually get any damage. And so most of our churches are in the kind of 90 to 95, or the churches I surveyed were in that kind of 90 to 95, which is like lawnmower or subway car, inside a subway car kind of sound. And at that level, and this is a kind of a long
conversation to get to a very short point, but to, at that level, somewhere between 90 and 95 dB, you would have to have sustained exposure at that level between somewhere between an hour and 2 hours for it to do damage. And we know that, you know, most of the churches that are listening in are not doing, you know, an hour to 2 hours of worship music or musical worship during their service, let alone at that volume. So, you know, a lot of times they might be peaking out somewhere at 95 or 98, but, you know, that's only for, you know, it might even be only for a few minutes of the song. And so the kind of moral of that story is most churches are running well under the kind of damage level where it could cause potential problems. Why is that important? Because the folks that are going to come to you and complain about it being too loud, they're going to come to you and say it's damaging your ears, their ears. And that's just not the case. And so you want to have a bit of information. Again, I am not an audiologist, I think it is.
Yes, yes.
But it gives you a sense of kind of the issue at play.
I feel like if somebody came up to me at church and said that it's doing hearing damage, I can now slap them in the face with all of this useful knowledge.
Well, don't slap them.
Maybe just not slap them.
Gently, but gently rebuke them and listen. And we get to that, what to say to them.
Yes,
in a little bit, for sure.
All right. Well, there's going to be reasons why we run loud services, and that's what we're going to talk about next. There's three reasons why.
Yeah. So there's three reasons that come to mind for me that are kind of top of mind. The first is that it fills a room. You know, our churches are, you know, we'd love them to be 100% full every week, but usually they aren't. They're usually somewhere, you know, maybe 60, 70% full. And the reality of it is when you run your system at the kind of levels we're talking about, 90, 95, it just fills the room. It makes it feel, you know, more alive. It gives it a kind of a more snappy feeling to it. And, you know, that's important for the dynamics of what we're trying to go to. What, you know, the reason why we do musical worship is we're trying to drive engagement. So we're trying to drive people actually being involved. And, people, you know, when it's empty, they just, the reality of it is they won't engage. And so by having it be a little bit louder, it ends up kind of filling the room, and which ultimately gives it a feeling to drive more engagement. You know, another part of this issue is a louder volume encourages more singing. To be honest, you do not want to hear me sing. You know, even though I did show tunes when I was a young person, which no, I'm not going to sing any
fact.
Of those. It's a fun fact. And there are, if you ask my mom, she probably has some VHS tapes that you can't play anymore because they're so deteriorated that you can play. But so, you know, the reality of it is if people hear themselves or hear too much of themselves, they won't sing. And so we run it a little bit louder so that it not only fills the room, but ultimately makes people feel or helps them feel like they're participating in the experience, like there's other people engaging in it. And so, if it's too low, that actually will ultimately discourage them from singing. Now, there definitely is a sweet spot. And this is where, you know, I would say sound guys in a lot of ways, they're like, you know, if you've got a five people in the band on stage, it's like they're the sixth band member, the sound person at the back. They, there's a sweet spot there where if it's too low, they won't sing. And if it's too loud, they won't sing. And so you're trying to hit somewhere in that middle. And sure, a part of that is a feel is it's not, it's kind of hard to define that. But what I do know is if it's too quiet, it for sure people won't sing. And then I think the third reason is most of our services or a part of what we're doing, you know, in church is celebrating what Jesus has done. You know, where we really get the reason why we gather on Sundays ultimately is to actually celebrate the resurrection. And so typically our services lean towards being less somber and being more celebratory. And so you know, that lends itself to a more energetic, more kind of fun, more, you know, potentially louder experience rather than a somber, more reflective experience.
All right. Well, there could be reasons why it might be not just volume. It could be something else behind it. So we're going to talk about three things it might be besides volume.
Yeah. So when people come to you or I know when they've come to me in the past and complained about volume, I sometimes wonder, and I often think it's actually not the volume they're complaining about. And most people that complain or my experience has been, they're not audio technicians. They're lay people and they're saying, oh, it's too loud, but it actually might be other things. And so what I want to check if I'm getting consistent kind of reports, oh, it's too loud. There's three things I want to check. First, I want to check the mix. And the mix is just how the kind of various elements of the band are coming through the sound system. And so, to, you know, a simple example, there may be way too much of that screeching electric guitar, you know, way too much high end in audio guy talk. And that, it may not actually be just too loud. It's just too much of that coming through. And that gives this kind of distorted sound, which ultimately says to people like, oh no, I don't like this. Or maybe it might be too much low end, kind of on the other side of it. It's too much of rumbling. Now we need to have low end. That kind of feel of low end in the room is actually sociologically is what moves an audience along. So that, you know, that idea of it kind of pushing air against your chest is actually a good thing. I know some people get freaked out by that feel, but that's actually what helps an audience engage, because you're like literally they're kind of feeling it. So you want lots of low end, but if there's too much, then it'll sound muddy and you ultimately, you know, it just has that reverberating sound in the room. And that, you know, is really a mix problem, not a volume problem. You know, another issue on the, what it might not be besides volume is just lousy musicianship. That's the word
there
I was looking for. Not music manship. I'm like, that's the music man, which I was in a review when I was in high school where we sang some songs from the music man. So the lousy music, you know, so maybe the electric guitar player just isn't quite up to snuff in leading in your church, or maybe the drummer is just frankly banging too harshly on the drums. You know, in short, poor musicianship could cause a distraction. Sometimes people complain about the volume, but really what they're thinking is the folks on stage, they just aren't leading them in an efficient and effective manner. And so sometimes if I hear that time and time again, you know, the thing I want to stare at is like, well, do we just have the wrong people on stage? Are we saying like, hey, you should maybe we need to get more training for you, or we need to help people get, you know, better at what they do. And then finally, just to speak completely plainly, some folks just don't like your musical style at your church. They wish it was something else. They wish it was quieter, somber, more reflective, more introspective, more, you know, more choirs, more organs, more whatever, less of you, more of something else. And sometimes when people complain, they're saying it's too loud, but actually what they're saying, it's just not something that I want. And, you know, and frankly, that's okay. Like, I understand there's more than one way to do church, but you've got to acknowledge that at some level, it might just be that they don't like what you're doing. And, you know, that can be harder to figure out because people usually don't lead with that. They lead with something like, you're hurting my ears.
Oh, okay. So now we're going to move into the practical tips for helping people who think it's too loud. And we have 5 tips to help people out.
Yeah. So just practically speaking, and again, you can read all these in the article, but what we've tried to do here is give you some guidance for those people who come to you and are like, oh, it's too loud. It's too loud. What are the ways you want to step through that conversation? So the first thing is you want to acknowledge that you hear them. And there's a bit of irony here. If you just kind of brush past them, and don't acknowledge like, oh yeah, yeah. No, like they have a legitimate complaint. They are actually complaining. You know, that, you know, is kind of ironic because, you know, you're literally not hearing them when they're complaining about audio. And so what you want to do is say, hey, I understand what you're saying. And, you know, you want to do your best kind of active listening, reflect back to them. Hey, yes, I hear you. What I hear you saying is this, you know, not in a pedantic way or a, you know, pejorative way, but in a way that helps them, you know, more clearly. The next, you want to always lead with why. So why is it, volume? And you need to work on this and get real clear on it. You need to have kind of clear understanding of why that is. And, you know, the following may apply. Our church is about reaching for people who aren't into church. And, you know, we're trying to create the kind of church that unchurched people love to attend. And, you know, we're trying to design what happens here, not for people who are into Jesus, but for people who aren't. And one of the things we know is in our culture, there's just not a lot of places where people sing songs. And so people might say like, oh, it looks like a rock show. And we'll be like, yeah, that actually is kind of a part of what we're trying to do. We're trying to mirror other places where people might experience music. And so, you know, our music is an outflow of the reason why we exist as a church, or the why we do what we do. And so one of the things we found is that a louder style of music helps draw people in and engage people who might not otherwise be in church. And so, you know, you want to start with your why, and you've got to If you can't get agreement on why your church exists with someone who's complaining really about anything, but specifically about this music stuff, it's almost it's not worth moving forward from there, because if you can't agree that that's why the church exists, you're like, you got lots of other problems in interacting with this person. And so, you know, you've got to stay, you know, stick with the purpose, you know, thing first. And then a couple other kind of quick practical things from there. I'll offer another place in the room. Although we all think, and we spend a lot of money to ensure that our rooms are as acoustically tuned as possible so that we have a nice uniform experience across all of those seats, we all know that even in the most acoustically tuned room in the, in the country, that there are seats that are louder, excuse me, than others. And so, you know, you can move people towards those. You know, part of that, you can find that out by just literally moving around the room on a Sunday and figuring out, okay, where are those places that are a little bit quieter, move them towards them. You can let them know that you've got earplugs, a real practical thing, your guest connections team. It would be great for them to have earplugs readily available. You know, they could have them in their pockets or put them in like a little desk, maybe a little table around by your door somewhere. In fact, I was at one church that had earplugs, and they were in these plexiglass boxes right as you walked in, right prominently displayed as you walked in, with just a kind of a sign on the front of it that said, yes, we know it's loud. And you know, they were there for people. You know, good earplugs, actually not even good earplugs, cheap earplugs will take, you know, the volume down by 10 to 20 decibels, which in any of the ranges we're talking about gets it down way down into, you know, people could be in that room for days on end and not have any ear damage if people are worried about that. And then finally, on the number five point, we need to reinforce that our team is working hard to make a great experience for everyone. Please, please, please don't do this. This is a rookie mistake. I've seen too many rookie leaders do this. They'll throw the sound team under the bus. They'll be like, yeah, I don't know about those people. In an effort to try to get on the same side of those people, you'll kind of back the bus over those people. Please don't do that. Your team is working hard to create a great experience, and we want to ensure that to our complainers that not only do we hear them and are we working, we want to provide them some alternatives, but that our team is doing their best to try to create a great experience for everyone. And that although we may not be able to do it for everyone, that is their goal. We want it to be a great experience for people. And I know because Kyle is involved on the technical side that, you know, we want to make sure we respect those guys, because they give a lot of time, effort, and energy to make it happen. They don't just wing it. Even though it looks like it just kind of happens, it takes a lot of work to make weekends happen at a church.
And likely feels like it sometimes, like they're just winging it.
Right, that's true, because they do it so well. Because they, you know, and so for sure, absolutely. So those would be the kind of things that go through my head when I think about how do we communicate to people.
Yeah, and these are some really great practical tips that everybody can just kind of implement right away. Rich, before we sign off, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, you know, remember that it's really a minority of people who are complaining about audio at your church. I know it can get a lot. Like if you're an executive pastor listening in and like you want to just help people, and frankly, you might not like it. It may be too loud for you. And you're kind of like, oh gosh, I don't know what I think about it. It can be easy for you to only you know, hear one person every couple of weeks and for you to feel like everyone is saying it's too loud. That's not what's happening. You have a minority of people who are speaking up saying like, hey, this isn't working. But there's a majority of people who are loving it because they're engaged. Ultimately, you've got to look around the room and say, are people engaged with this experience? If they're engaged with it, you know, we are going to have a few people that aren't going to like it. And that's kind of just a part of leading, you know, in a, you know, broader kind of philosophical or, you know, biblical point of view. There's lots of clear evidence in scripture, and I provide some in at the end of this article, that worship does tend to be a loud, ruckus experience. And so it's not surprising that continues to happen today. So remember that as we craft services and try to navigate through with our people their questions around why on earth is it so loud.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can see the full article and our other podcasts at unseminary.com.